Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to chat with you tonight. I'd love for you to just introduce yourself. Let us know you're here and now, what you're up to.
So for all of you that don't know me, I'm Isabella. I'm a dancer with New York City Ballet, principal dancer with New York City Ballet, actually. And let's see, my gosh, I've danced for as long as I can remember. Around 3 years old, I started the introductory classes, took a liking to it. Around seven, realized that this might be something I wanted to do. Went to many different schools, and then around 14, moved out to New York City to join School of American Ballet. And when I was 17, joined New York City Ballet, and I've been there ever since.
I would love to hear a little bit more about your journey moving through the company and your shift to principal, and just hear how things changed over the years, maybe how your approach to dance and to how you support your body has even changed just throughout that particular shift. So not focusing on your pre-pro days, but actually focusing more on your professional years.
It's a really big adjustment going from pre-professional studies to, a professional setting. You're used to being in a class of just a small class of 20 dancers, and then you go into a company where you're one of many, many talented dancers, and you start at the bottom of the totem pole. When you are finish your graduating class at SAB, you are kind of at the top, and then you start right back down the bottom. And you try to navigate and find your path and find your footing, which is a big adjustment period. So when I became an apprentice, it was overwhelming to all of a sudden be in company class with all of these dancers that you admire so much, but a really great learning experience to kind of just dive right in and see, how they go about their daily schedule and their daily life and take whatever, you can learn from each individual dancer. So my apprentice year was just a big adjustment year, learning how to get on stage nightly, perform with the company, stay in line, figure out the point shoes, the makeup. There's just a lot to get accustomed to. And one of them is, how do you sustain yourself for all of those hours? It's different doing two ballet classes in a day versus going to a full day of performing and dancing. So just a huge, you had to be, I had to be a sponge at that age and just try to accumulate all the knowledge that I possibly could. And from, many years of dancing the core, being on every night, it's a grueling schedule. And I learned so much. I mean, I think injuries were a big part, early on in my career. When I was in the core, I think I just had a lot to juggle and I had a lot to balance. And you're busiest in the core when you start getting a few opportunities that might level you up to the next rank. And so you're balancing your quarter ballet schedule, but also trying to rehearse these roles that are more featured. And so when you're doing your core schedule on top of featured roles is when it's a really, really heavy workload. It's the hardest time I think any dancer can kind of go through at that point, and you're being tested so much. And unfortunately, a few times early on in my career, it was just too much for my body, and I got injured. I had a back injury and a foot injury, and each injury took about a year, but it was a really good learning experience for me to have some of that time off to really become the best dancer that I possibly could and the strongest dancer that I possibly could. I learned a lot about my weaknesses that I have had in the past and learned how to strengthen those. And knock on wood, I haven't had many th problems since. And I think, I feel a little bit like it's a superpower now because I gained so much knowledge in those early years, frustrating years nonetheless, but I have so much knowledge that I can apply today to today. I mean, sometimes I'll have like an ache or a pain and I'll be like, I've had this before, I know what to do. And I'm able to prevent it from becoming worse. So it's been a an journey like none other, but an exciting journey. And I still have a lot to learn and I have a lot to share, and I'm always eager to share with all of my fellow colleagues whenever they have a problem. I feel like sometimes I can be a good source of wisdom for them, in terms of injuries, pains, or anything, because they all know that I've gone through a lot of it. So they'll always seek me out. They're like, Isabella, this thing is bothering me. Do you think, you know, what do you think I should do? And I'll kind of give them my two cents, and they can, you know, take it or leave it. Or, you know, a lot of them are really grateful and appreciative of the experience that I've have had in the past that I can help them out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love hearing your perspective shift, because I think that for a lot of dancers who are in that key time of their professional career, right, apprentice to starting to learn featured roles, to experience an injury at that time that takes you away from the studio would be the world crashing down kind of feeling for so many dancers. So to hear that this was something that really hit home for you, something that you experienced, and you're able to shift the perspective, maybe at the moment or in hindsight, but you're able to shift the perspective and see it as an opportunity to learn more about your body, strengthen your body, and learn more about what your body needs, so that this either doesn't happen again, or if and when it does, you know how to intervene as soon as possible. So just hearing that you're utilizing those experiences, or did utilize those experiences to just really build this personal life story of evidence. I call it like our body of evidence in the work that I do with dancers, just specifically with their nutritional status or their body image. So much of our work in my meetings with them is about building evidence and learning from that.
Yeah.
So hearing your perspective, and to for you to now be at the highest rank of your company, a top company of the world, and have had experienced all of that is so incredibly inspiring.
Yeah. It definitely was a learning experience. No doubt in the moment, it was extremely frustrating. But after that period of frustration, I had to look at it as, how can I learn from this, as frustrating as this may be? I mean, it felt like a little bit of a derailment from where I wanted to be. And it was also frustrating seeing a lot of your colleagues, you know, go on and be performing, and there you were at home healing. And for me, it wasn't just one time, it was a few times. So the only way I could shift myself to get back in the game was, how can I, you know, what skills can I learn right now with this time to become the best possible and strongest possible dancer I can possibly be when I do get back? So without that shift in my paradigm and, you know, my thinking, I don't know, I would have been too down and out to even potentially ever come back. It was really important to have that. And also just super important to have close friends and family cheering me on every day and, you know, telling me that I could do this, and just putting one foot in front of each other each and every day. Because if I got overwhelmed with the large picture and large end goals, it felt too overwhelming. So I had to really celebrate the small rewards and the small wins. You know, from one day not being able to do any bit of bar to the next day being able to do pliés and tendus, that was a big celebration for me. And then, you know, step by step, I was able to get back in the game, and thankfully have been healthy for the most part ever since. So
throughout that process, did you have resources available in regards to PTs, dietitian, mental health therapy, or?
Yes. So, NYC Ballet, we have a physical therapy program, and they work one-on-one with us to help rehab us from injury. So I work very closely with them. And just recently, actually, over the past, I want to say, 5 years or so, we have been working on getting a more well-rounded wellness team.
Yes.
So we're getting mental health therapists, we're getting nutritionists. Mm-hmm. At the time when I was injured, we didn't have the full scope of resources. So a lot of that I did on my own. But now we have a wellness team now, actually, and I'm on the wellness team, and we're all working to get as many of those resources available to the dancers as possible. So in those moments of injury or, you know, struggles within the company, they have those sources to go to, which is super, super important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I know that you guys are making a really great effort to get those resources together. And start the process of having a more well-rounded support system for your students and your dancers. So I love that. I love hearing about having resources for dancers, even if it's just a referral system, whatever it might be, making sure that dancers feel that if and when they do struggle, whether it be a physical struggle, like an injury, or maybe even a mental or a mindset struggle, they know who to turn to. They have qualified, licensed resources to do just that. So that's incredible. I'm so happy that you are involved with that and doing that.
Yeah, the more resources you have, the more, the stronger you can be. And you can't answer all of the problems that do arise within your career. You're going to need help along the way. And it's so important to have that help and, you know, have quality help too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So what would you say is one of the biggest challenges that you experience at the highest rank of a company?
Finding like consistency in performing. And also, I think all dancers are perfectionists. And so not being your own worst critic. I think sometimes you finish a performance and sometimes you can obsess over those small things that don't go right. And you also have good comparisons of all your rehearsals, right? You rehearse a role for so many times that you know that you can do it better than sometimes you do it on stage, which can really frustrate you and after the fact annoy you. So learning how to let that go and also just be present and completely enjoy the moment when you are on stage is something that I'm really trying to learn, because it's a different kind of pressure and there's more focus. So trying to manage all of that pressure and also not put too much pressure on myself still right now too, because I'm still trying to learn and grow and navigate this new role.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love hearing that. Definitely the difference in pressure that you might feel and then the impact that perfectionism does have on that. So much of what I do here at To The Point Nutrition, just from my own experience as a dancer who has struggled with perfectionism and still does struggle with perfectionism, I call myself a recovering perfectionist because I work all the time at, you know, not letting that headspace overwhelm, but there are definitely more instances than not where I enter the headspace and I have to like check back in with myself and say, okay, like, is this spiraling actually helping me at the moment? You know, what is realistic? What is practical? And how can I have compassion for myself, right? Because like you said, for us perfectionists, we are often our own worst critics. Yeah. And I see time and time again with the dancers, specifically the pre-pro dancers that I work with, where perfectionism truly can be one of the biggest limitations in regard to their food choices and, of course, in regard to their body image. Yeah. So on that note, I'd love to hear a little bit about food. How has your relationship with food just shifted in or within your professional career?
I've always had a healthy relationship with food and always found that, you know, it's very important to nourish myself. I think that comes from perhaps the way I was brought up and raised. It was a really well-rounded, balanced. My mom always cooked for us and she always, you know, gave us well-rounded, balanced foods. And there was a good transition when at 14 years old, I moved out to SAB and I was in the dormitory and all of a sudden I'm there with dorm food, you know, and that was a little bit harder because there wasn't the variety that I'm always accustomed to having. And I didn't necessarily have the option to go to a grocery store and make my own food. I didn't have a cold kitchen. I was in a dorm with no kitchen at all. So whatever was offered in the dormitory was what I could eat. But I made the best of it. I always enjoyed coming home and having my mom's food. That's for sure. Yeah. My mom and dad's food. And what I really enjoyed was when I finally could transition to my own apartment space and had my own kitchen and really start nourishing myself the way that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. It's very tricky with our schedule, lunch especially, on how to nourish. I think breakfast is always very important, sets you up for the day. If you don't eat a nourishing breakfast, you're hungry by the time you are standing at the bar and doing pliés, which is not the way you want to start your day. And from company class, you're jumping straight into rehearsals. From 10 to 11:30, you're taking class, and from 11:30 onwards till about 2 o'clock, you're rehearsing. So it's really important to have a good jump start to your day. Around 2, 3 o'clock, we'll usually get a lunch break. But often after that lunch break, you're jumping back into very physically demanding roles. And for me, that means really stamina exhausting roles, which the last thing you want to do is have a super, super full stomach before you're going back into rehearsal. So what I found for me that works really well is almost snacking every single hour. So after class, I'll already have a bar. Before my first rehearsal, I'll usually have a smoothie, something with some protein, fruits, vegetables in there. I really like having like a green smoothie because otherwise it's hard to fit in any greens throughout my day. So I'll have some spinach and banana and mango and put some collagen in there, a little bit of fat in there. So having a smoothie is something that can sustain me for a while. And then by lunch, I'll usually have a sandwich of some sort, depending on what I'm craving. Mozzarella, tomato, avocado. I like taking inspiration from Joe and the Juice. Mm-hmm. I love their sandwiches there so much. Sure. Or if I don't have time to make one in the morning, I'll run out and grab a sandwich around the area. And usually I'll eat half the sandwich around lunch, and then I'll do some more rehearsals before we get ready for the show in the evening. And that's when I'll have my other half of the sandwich. And I'll also have some pretzels and hummus or whatever snack that I kind of have on hand in my dressing room. I always like having peanut M&Ms. Those are one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I'm a huge M&Ms sucker.
I love hearing that you're snacking. I think a lot of dancers get really hung up on the topic of snacking, not realizing, as you said, that for the logistics of your day, getting enough full meal at lunchtime is not only from a time perspective impossible, but also just from a physical comfort standpoint in regards to having to dance right after that. So making sure that you have a bunch of just these balanced snacks where you're getting sources of carbohydrate, sources of protein, and sources of fat sounds to me like it's really offering you that energy that you need to get you through between your two main meals of breakfast and dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. And no doubt by the end of the day, I'm definitely ready for dinner. I'm definitely hungry by the time dinner comes around. And when I have my largest meal of the day, because that's when I feel like I am ready and most comfortable to have my largest meal of the day, because in the morning you're dancing and all throughout the rest of the day you are. So I'll often meal prep a lot in the beginning of the week, Monday, and I'll have a lot of different stews, and I'll have like pre-make roasted veggies and add a protein and make a salad or like a rice bowl, and just try to mix as much as I can for dinner. Or sometimes I'm so tired I order in because I can't even imagine the fact of standing on my feet even longer to cook a full dinner and then do the dishes afterwards. Or sometimes my husband will help cook dinner, which is super helpful as well. So it just depends on the schedule of the day and how exhausted I am. But dinner is definitely my largest meal and most nourishing meal. And I think it prepares me for the next day. So if I have a really hard day, I really focus on getting enough carbs in there. I'll often have a big bowl of pasta, bolognese before shows that are really hard. I remember before my debut in Sleeping Beauty for Aurora, I was like, I just need as much pasta as I can to sustain me for the salad.
Yeah. This is a testament to why so much of the work that I do is helping dancers steer clear of food rolls, because a lot of dancers will really struggle with wanting to hyper fixate on rules like not eating too many carbs or not eating after a certain time in the day. And it doesn't work for your rigorous and very busy schedule, right? Yeah. Like your level of carbohydrate intake needs to be high, and you need to get in not just a full meal in the evening hours, but a meal that's really going to replete what you've lost and set you up. So it's really doing double duty. So I think it's incredibly important for dancers to hear that and know that.
Yeah. Our schedule is just so demanding. It's just so important to nourish yourself properly, because that's when you start getting injured, is when you're not nourished properly. That's when you're not fully present. Aren't able to pick up choreography as fast as you need to. You get more agitated in rehearsals or before performances, or just spacey if you don't have enough food. So it's so crucial, and it does require some thought and definitely some prior preparation to have the necessary snacks and meals ready. But when you feel not your best, you take the time to feel your best, because it's so worth it and it pays off in the long run.
Absolutely. I just absolutely love your insight. A fun question I'd like to hear. What would you say, or maybe you answered this with the peanut M&Ms already, but what would you say your favorite mid-performance snack would be?
Oof, mid-performance. I love something salty. So I always go for pretzels for some reason. Maybe that's just because the nature of our job, we're so dehydrated and I try to drink as much water as I possibly can. But I'm always craving salty snacks. So pretzels are always my go-to. Peanut M&Ms. I always love any kind of like Clif bars, any kind of bar that I can get my hands on, just because it's a quick source of carbs and protein and a little bit of fat in there. I love macro bars as well. Those are my like mid-performance snacks. I always have my electrolytes on hand. Always are in my water. And then post-performance, I have many favorites. Big meal. And then actually, I always like my sweets sometimes in the morning with my coffee.
I
So
love
I'll have a
that.
cookie
I
with
love
my
that
coffee in the
mindset.
morning. Just a few of my favorites.
Well, this was so wonderful. I'm going to finish up with just one more question that I'd love to hear insight on. I actually asked this question and to everybody that's ever been on this series. So how would you define what it means to be the healthy dancer?
I think being in tune with your body and listening truly to what it needs. Think your body gives you a lot of cues naturally, and it's so important to listen to those cues, whether it's hunger, whether it's pain. But I think responding to those natural cues that your body gives you, in the best way possible, whether that's going to a doctor, doing further research, or just simply, I'm sore, I need to take an Epsom salt bath, is the best way to be a healthy dancer and the best version of yourself. So just being super in tune with those cues, I think, is really important. And if you manage them well and you take care of yourself, you can be the best version of yourself that you want to be.
Listening to your body, honoring what your body needs. It can be really hard for dancers, specifically our younger dancers, to trust what their body is telling them, because there's so much outside noise saying what is, and I quote, better or what they should be doing. And again, just kind of tying it back to what we were talking about earlier, just building that body of evidence for what works for your unique body and performance and your goals is just so incredibly important, to listen and honor what your body is telling you, from hunger cues, pain management, and all of that, taking time away from the studio. So thank you so much, Isabella. This was such a wonderful conversation. I'm so happy that we got to connect.
Thanks so much for having me.